I believe the song that we have just sang, Give Just a Closer Walk with Thee, ought to be the reason why we are here this evening, so that we can be able to know where we are walking, such that whenever we ask ourselves, where am I in Christ, we ought to be able to give an answer of where we stand in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's commission that he has given unto us, of striving to do our best that we can put forward in service unto him. This evening, I'd like to thank those who gave me the privilege of standing up here. It's been quite some time, and that's fine. There's been others, ones that have asked me to help them out, and I've given them some lessons, and I've told them, be prepared, because one of these evenings when I'm asked to do it, I'm going to turn and I'm going to say, it's now your turn to get up and give that lesson. He's sitting back there right now and he's just laughing and smiling about it, but he's got a time coming up and it'll be his first one in giving an invitation. And I think what we need to do is get behind and encourage him to be able to do it even more so. I can remember the time whenever I stood up in front of an audience, an assembly. It was in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And C.D. Plum was there. C.D. Plum probably was, I want to say, 91 or perhaps maybe 92 years old. And he would sit on the front seat. And he made it at a point that night that he was going to sit on that front seat because he knew it was my first time. And he had told me, he said, you know, we all need some direction. And he asked me, he said, can you take direction? And I looked at him, I said, well, yeah, I believe I can. And he said, well, tonight we're going to find out. And whenever he said in the front, it was a little stick that he had there. I want to call it a little stick, but it was about 5 foot in length. And whenever he whacked that on the seat, it caused such a sound that whoever was up there speaking, they stopped. And I was up there speaking, and he whacked that on the bench and sort of shocked me at first. Because I just wasn't used to being up there to have that done. I've seen other people have it done to them. But whenever he smacked that on there and he looked at me and he said, now you read that verse again. And this time you read it a little bit slower. We want to hear every word that Bible has to say unto us. And so I did. And after services he came to me and he said, see, I told you I'd do it. He said, I was just waiting for you to just speed up just a little bit so I can use that stick to have you slow down. This evening, what I want to talk about is because of you, because of me. And I want for us to look at it on a personal basis of knowing what I've been able to do. A saying brought forth by that of Thornton Wilder says, We can only be said to be alive in those moments when our hearts are conscious of our treasures. In other words, when we realize what our treasures are, then can we be excited. And brothers and sisters, when we understand what our treasures are, that whenever the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. What is that treasure? Because I've asked some and they said, well, you know, I think I'm going to go to heaven. I mean, brothers, sisters, I can't find it in the scripture. I can't find one prophet, I can't find one apostle, I can't find the words of Christ or anyone saying, I think I'll go to heaven. Why? Christ, the apostles, those that were followers of Christ, Stephen. Now you know, it ought to move us to realize that somebody standing in front of you and having rocks hurled at you could be able to look and say the last words in that chapter, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just as Christ said unto them, do not lay this sin to their charge. Ought to give us the zeal, the willingness, the desire, everything within us to be able to know, to grab a hold of what is the treasure that the Lord has for each and every one of us. How can we see ourselves in a positive light? You know, our children go to school. They may be bullied, even though they have this great big program at all the schools now, of bullying. And isn't it a shame that it had to come to a death of a student at a university to bring it to light across the country? Out of Florida. Can we see ourselves in a positive light? In a positive light such that we can be able to shift our thoughts. And this is what we need to do, to be able to shift our thoughts. Know what you think, in other words. Know it for assuredly of what you think. Know our thoughts. But not only that, but also to find a lesson in them. Everything that happens to us ought to be looked upon as a lesson learned. I do word working. And I bought some years back, way back, I bought a ShopSmith. And as I was sanding a piece of board on that ShopSmith and I was taking it through that sand, man, I just sit there and sometimes I go down and I cut wood and I just sand that thing just to watch that thing run. And one day I was down there sanding it and just sanding it, and I sanded off the sides of my fingers before I really... Oh, you look and you say, oh, you stupid thing. Well, I learned the lesson. I'll tell you that much right now. Real quick. I came upstairs and I had it wrapped up and my wife says, what happened, honey? Oh, nothing. She goes, why is your hand wrapped up? Oh, it's nothing. Turn on the faucet and stick it underneath there a little bit. Ooh. She come over and she looked. Oh, honey, what in the world did you do? Oh, I was downstairs sanding and I just kept sanding away and it just sanded down my fingers. But I've learned from that how to sand properly. You know, sometimes we're in an automobile accident. And we learn the lesson that we need to look to the right, to the left, to the right, and back to the left if we're going to make a left-hand turn. Some people pull up to the stoplight and they stop and zoom. They don't even bother looking. You know why? They say, other people should look out for me. No lesson learned. But when that crash happens, and they've got to forfeit out some money for the amount that the insurance company doesn't care, cover and all, a lesson learned, perhaps. But let's look on. What about our attitude of gratitude there? Angry, you know, the words angry and grateful just do not reside in the same place. I can't be angry and graceful have gratitude for something at the same time. It just cannot reside in the same place at the same time. Just can't have it in my life. Well, let's look at another one, or even in the same place. What about a positive affirmation there, and that of visualization? What am I saying here? Practice seeing ourselves in a positive and in a confident light. You know, I used to work at NCR and STI and WebMD and all, and when I would go into the building, I'd go to the restroom, and I'd go in and I'd straighten up my tie because we had to wear a tie, and one of the places required us to wear a suit coat, so I'd wear a suit coat. Hated those things because I always burnt up in those things, no matter when I wore them, whether it was dead set of winter in Ohio or here in Atlanta. But anyhow, I'd go in, I'd make sure my tie is straight and all, and I'd look at myself. Women, you know what I'm talking about, because you stand in front of the mirror for quite some time whenever you're getting dressed before you go out. And then you know the same thing. It's just not your wives that do it. You do it also. But why? Because I want to look my best. And if we're going in for a job interview, we make sure our hair is smoothed down and, you know, everything is just right on us and all. Because why? Because we want to make a good impression. What we're wanting to do is we're wanting to present ourselves in a positive and in a confident manner in front of the people so that we can get the job or so that I can get my job done. You know, as a project manager, I thought one time, you know, all I'd have to do is just, you know, throw on an old pair of pants and an old shirt. You know, I've gone out to a construction site. I mean, what in the world is a construction site? And, you know, all dirt and pouring of concrete and that of wood and metal and building and so forth and so on. But you know what? It don't work. Because you go out onto that site and you got your old jeans on and an old shirt on and on. They look and they don't have respect for you as knowing what's going to happen if I do it wrong. So it didn't last that long for me in that situation there. But let's go on. What about an inventory of our memory? And really, we need to take an inventory of our memory. Everyone here needs to take an inventory of it. We need to keep that inventory of our memories that can immediately make you smile. You know, even today, even though I'm retired, there are days that I have bad days. Things didn't go right when I got up. Things didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. And I've got to step back and I've got to take an inventory here. And I've got to look in through my memories and all and visualize what happened whenever I was at home. And I did the same thing to my parents. And I have to sit and I have to sometimes laugh about the things that I pulled on them. I go up to the Buford Academy in elementary schools, or Buford Academy mainly. And I go up there and I volunteer, and I go to the classrooms and I volunteer in the classrooms. Well, the teacher sometimes will see me coming and she'll walk out and she'll say, "Take care of the class." And I'll go into the classroom and I say, "Okay, what are you all doing?" "Well, we're doing our big 20. "Well, who's got the answer for the first one?" Look around, no one raising their hand and all. And I look and I say, "Okay, fourth row back, first seat. Let's hear an answer for it." And sometimes you really have to laugh at the answers that are given because it's just like they pulled it off the side of the wall and gave an answer. Well, how about let's get an answer for the problem here that someone worked it at home last night? Then many, many hands will go up. And you have to sit and you have to laugh at some of the answers that are given because they're just far-fetched. Why? We live in a time when we don't have time for our own children. Mom and dad works. We get up early in the morning and off the children go to a daycare or to school an hour and a half early, so therefore they get there an hour and a half early, and by the time school starts, they start getting tired. They've been away from mom and dad. And then mom and dad hurries in the evening to pick them up to make sure that they're there by 6 o'clock when the doors are locked at the school, and they need to pick them up. Brothers, sisters, do you know that school starts at about 8 o'clock? At least where I live up here, it starts at 8 o'clock. And some of them get there an hour and a half earlier than 8 o'clock, which means their children are being dropped off. And I'm not kidding around about it. I go up there at 6:30 in the morning, and the traffic is backed up a half a mile of people trying to get in there to drop off their children. The astonishing thing about it is you go out there at 6 o'clock or 10 minutes before 6, and it's the same cars that were there at 6:30 in the morning to pick up their child at 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, we have to do that because we have bills to pay. We have bills to pay because of the fact that what? We've overspent ourselves. So therefore, we get into a bad attitude about the whole thing because we've done this thing to ourselves. And we are making the children pay for it by not being there for them. and not given the guidance and direction that they need. We always see ourselves in a positive light. We believe we are following the scriptures. You know, if I was to take an inventory here this evening and say, how many of us think we're following the scriptures? I imagine every hand in here would go up. Very few would not go up. But I want us to take an inventory. I want us to listen at what we're saying in the back of our minds and have our thoughts at the back here, because it's our conscience that's going to say to us, you know, no, you're not, and you know it. You're not doing what the Word of God has to say. And oftentimes we're not listening to it because we're not attuned to it. We believe we're there, we're caring for those both inside and outside of the church. I asked somebody about it before and they looked at me and they said, but I give. Shouldn't that take care of it? Somebody is needing some food or groceries or pay a utility bill or something along those lines there. Well, I give to the church. Doesn't that take care of it? We see ourselves as showing empathy to those caught in what seems to be a never-ending battle that they're in. Some people are going through battles in their life. And those battles that they're having in their life may not be tied to that of financial situations. It may be that of their health. It may be that of, you know, family members. It may be that of family situations that is happening and all. But they're having these things that's going on. And they need to present themselves in a light such that is not conflicting with those things around about us. We know and we practice, I'm okay, you're okay, so the world's all okay. Brother Welton gave out an article this morning on that of homosexuality in the denomination that's nearby and across the country, I'll go ahead and say, about that of homosexuality. You know, we're all against homosexuality. General, I'm going to say that as a general statement and all. Maybe not. But let me make it into a general situation. Others will stand and say it's a sin against God until it becomes a family member. And then watch how ideas start changing. Well, we ought to accept these ones. After all, God says, you know, judge not that you be not judged. Totally taken out of context. But still, they will agree to it when it's a family member. Oh, you know, families have to stick together. Not willing to teach what the Word of God then has to say about things and all. Let everything be just fine. Why do we have to stir up things? You know, I remember reading in Scripture, Paul really stirred up things. When he came into some of the coast and all, he really stirred up the people. I mean, they were willing at times to stone him. Stephen really stirred up those people in Acts chapter 7 there. They stoned him. But he stirred them up. And they were not happy with it. They didn't want to agree to it. Christ, when he was up on the earth, he stirred the people up. Such at times, he had to move through the crowd unknown to them in order to escape, because it was not his time to be put to death. And in all of these things, how we present ourselves, we're in a blackout. We don't see ourselves. We see others, but don't we see ourselves in these situations and all? In what we have to say or what we don't say, as well as living what the Lord would have us to do. What we oftentimes need to do, as the old saying is, take a step back and take a serious look at the panoramic view that is in front of us. And then move forward according to what the Word of God has to say unto us. Because we can see throughout the scriptures, great accomplishments are made in the scriptures. But those great accomplishments are made when we step back and we take the panoramic view of everything that is in there. The life-giving mirror. We go to a mirror, we look in the mirror, we see how we look, we either make changes or we look and we say, I look pretty good. And we go on. But what happens when we begin to look at the life-giving mirror, God's Word, and comparing ourselves against God's Word? Or we look and we say, well, you know, I look in the mirror and I see how I'm dressed. I'm dressed according to what God would have to say in the Scriptures. I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about what comes out of our mouth. How we carry ourselves. How we walk is a good indication. Or how we just move around. Ones can come into the auditorium and look and know whether or not we are here to praise and be zealous for the Lord, or we're just here. You know that? They don't even have to talk to you. They can tell the way you walk, the way you take your steps. And if we don't watch and understand that and listen to ourselves, we're going to miss it totally, such that we are out in the black. And then the questions start popping up. Why do I want to worship there for? Why do I want to be with that group of people that don't really care whether or not they're there or not? I'll go on down the street here to a denomination. Oh, that's totally wrong. You know, we're quick in pointing that out. But we're not quick in understanding, what did I do to make them leave and go maybe perhaps somewhere else? Or leave the church altogether in this? You know, it costs us nothing and should bring great wealth when we look into this life-giving mirror. It doesn't cost us one thing to be able to do that. We don't need to speak, or we don't need to say a word. People notice by our words and our actions, how we walk perhaps, how we speak, as to who we really are. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves, you know, the church here. We call ourselves members of the body of Christ. But how we walk in words and actions and how we speak and all is great wealth of knowledge. It needs to be great wealth of knowledge even unto us and all. Each one of us has the power of breaking or making others. We can either break someone by going out and how we walk, talk, actions, and so forth, of saying, I want not part of that group. Or we can be ones who say, I want to worship there. I was talking to a lady this morning as she left. And I introduced myself to her. And I said to her, I'm very glad to have you here this morning. Are you from this area? And she said, yes, I am. I says, oh, please, come back and worship with us again. And she said, from what I heard this morning, I definitely will be back. You know, that's great encouragement. Not only to me, but to her. It was great encouragement that she wants now to come back. And I'm praying that as she comes back, she's going to even learn more and want more, such that maybe she wants Bible studies or lessons and all set up. You know, when I look around about what ones are doing, I look at some of the other congregations, and I visited various congregations around to find out what they are doing. Some congregations are having Bible studies at Chick-fil-A in Decula. Some are having Bible studies at a pizza place. Some are having Bible studies at Burger King. And five or six people will meet there and they'll have Bible study for about an hour. You mean someone's going to see me toting around my Bible? That's the one you don't want to come. Because that's going to be a discouragement. It's going to be a breaking down of that. But brothers, sisters, there's nothing wrong in us setting up places like that and going there and having Bible studies and conducting studies of the Word of God. It doesn't need to be held in your home in the basement underneath the floor or underneath behind the back door and into a closet and all. Let it shine out so others might be able to see it. They're really convinced in what they have in their faith of God. And let it go from there. Great accomplishments are when we step back and not simply do this, but we simply just look at ourselves. If the kingdom of Lord, if his kingdom is growing and multiplying, it should, as a matter of fact, give us an understanding of what God's word is, how we conduct ourselves, what we have to say. And for those on the outside, it's a manner, favorable manner unto them. They're dedicated. They're interested. They're willing to go the extra mile. They're willing all to do these things. But remember the title of the lesson, because of you, because of me. We don't wait around until someone says, oh yeah, let's go ahead and let's do this. You do it first and then I'll do it. Get out and just do it as to what you can do to be able to do it for the Lord. We are to be what we can be. An influence for bad, or we can be stagnant, or we can be an influence for good. There's only three things that we can be here. And this is the three things that a Christian's life is capable of doing too. We can call ourselves a Christian and we can be an influence for bad. I see how this person's conducting their life. I don't want no part of that. Or we can be stagnant. Once we're baptized into Christ, we don't grow anymore. Anyway, that's our fault. Because in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, second chapter of the book of Acts, when they were baptized on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 38, what did they do after that? They came from long distance, but they stayed in Jerusalem and continue to study the Word of God. When one is baptized into Christ, we continue the study of the Word of God with them and continue to have them to grow in knowledge and that of the understanding. Let's go to 1 Peter in chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Notice here what it said. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, now notice now, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak of you or when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. They see what you're doing, and they want to glorify God because it's great work that's being done. Okay? But notice now, abstain from fleshly lust. Why? So that you can be able to conduct yourselves in an honorable manner. And then by your good works, they can be able to glorify God. Well, let's look at another passage. John chapter 12, verses 9 through verse 11. And the Jews here that he's speaking of here were ones who really wanted to question. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. Who? Christ, Lazarus, and all. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus. We want to see Lazarus, the one that was healed and all, for whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also. Not only Christ, but also Lazarus. Get rid of him, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Due to what? They knew that he was there. Christ was there. Not only Christ, but they came to see Lazarus, who was raised by Christ. Okay? They wanted to see both of them. But they were there to do what? They were there to take their life from them. Because it glorified God and not anyone else, or what the Jews were after at that period of time. Notice in the book of Philippians in chapter 2 and beginning in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Paul writing here to Philippian brethren. I'm going to send Timothy down there to you. Paul took it as far as he could. I'm now going to send Timothy down there to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded, there's no other one who is like-minded like I am, who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But ye know his proven character. Now that raises a good question. What would people say about our character? Oh, he's a good neighbor. Well, I had real good neighbors when I lived in Lawrenceville down towards Snellville. I had very good neighbors there. When we first moved down here, a few of the neighbors came over, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go around, I'm going to introduce myself to the rest of the neighbors. Go around, knocked on a few of the doors, and I heard a voice on the inside, and I knocked again, and the person said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, I just moved in across the street. I thought I'd come over and introduce myself and my children to you and all." "Go away. We want nothing to do with you." It wasn't because, you know, I had pimples on my face or blisters or anything like that, and I didn't have scurvy, and I wasn't standing there itching all over and all. My face wasn't all broken out or nothing like that. "I want nothing to do with you." Could that be maybe what others may be seeing in us? Surely not. Give an answer, "I don't want to have anything to do with you." Who will sincerely care for your state, he says here. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly unto you. I want to come shortly unto you, Philippian brethren, but I can't. I'm going to send Timothy over here. He's a proven character. He's like-minded. His zeal for Christ is like my zeal for Christ. Now, let me go back. What does our children see in us? A love of the Lord. When we make decisions in our home, is the Lord utmost in that decision? Number one, what would the Lord have us to do? In a purchase, whatever it may be, would this be what the Lord would have me to do? "Oh, well, I've got to keep my status right up here and all. I got to make sure I have one that I can ride the Lexus lane down the interstate." You know, people used to laugh at that and all. "Oh, that's not the Lexus lane. You ever see a 1997 Chevrolet Monte Carlo driving down the Lexus lane?" "No. Don't want to waste my money on that." Do we go to the Lord and consult with the Lord? "Lord, give me direction." Or as I had in the article that's in the bulletin, the answer, the last thing in that was, the Lord answers our prayer. It may be no, it may be yes, or it may be wait. "Well, Lord, I need an answer right now." The Lord doesn't operate on our time and our time basis and all. But because of you. Well, let's look a little bit further in here. Because of you. You know, some may be in sin out there. And from this, yes, sometimes we don't see the tremendous damage that we're causing to others when they look at us. Because they don't see us putting the Lord number one. They don't see us putting others ahead of ourselves. It's what I want. And therefore, we operate all upon that. Because as we look around, there's totally a number of people in the world watching every move that we make. It may be a neighbor, it may be a co-worker, it may be someone that's real close to us. It may be our children that's looking at us. And they're hearing the Word of God being preached in the mornings whenever we bring them into services and all. But then when it goes home, it's totally different. They're so confused that whenever they get older, they look and say, well, why in the world should I obey the gospel? Dad and Mom did this. But they did this here, and over here they did something else, and it's not consistent one with the other. Or a wife and a husband, it's not consistent. When they took that vow of marriage and all, it says the two shall be joined together as what? One. They become one. But they haven't been joined together to become one. And it's either a husband wanting his way or the wife wanting her way. And they're not sitting down and talking about it. And then when the children come along, they still don't talk about it. So therefore, it perpetuates throughout the whole family and life family and all, such that it doesn't do any good in all of those things there. Well, let's look a little bit further. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we all know this by heart. For the wages of sin is death. Whatever we're working for, if it's a wage of sin and points to that, where God is not number one, then it's a sin. And it's a sin then in our life. But notice now in the book of Matthew in chapter 5, and let's go to verse 13. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Men, we are head of the homes, but if we're not acting like we are head of the home, what good is it? Paraphrasing along those lines there. It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light candles and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, such that the light goes throughout the whole room in the house. Now notice in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. And that's the question. Is our light shining out there that ones can be able to say that because of you, that light shone out there, that I can be able to see the good works that you were doing, and I glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want that, Father. I want that because of the example that we have set for them and all. Well, let's move on to another one. Because of you, we may be discouraging one another. Sometimes, you know, we don't see what a great influence we are on someone. Sometimes we don't see it because of the fact that it's not immediate. And that's what problem Americans suffer from. When we want something, we want it now. And if it's not there right now, we get upset about it. I used to work for a boss that would come in and say, Clifford, do you have those statistics for me? And I look over to the computer and I said, the computer has been running for an hour and a half. It's got another half hour. He knew that once the figures were put in, the computer then took 2 hours to generate the charts and all. You know, I have a meeting in 5 minutes. Boss, you've known since I've been here that it takes 2 hours to generate the reports after you give me the information. I know, but I want it now. We want something, and we always want it now. And we don't want to wait for it at all. And we as Christians, we're doing the same thing. Lord, we want it. We want it now. We want it. We prayed about it. I want the answer now. I'll just go sit under a juniper tree and I want to wait for it to happen right now. And I'm not going to make a move until I can get what I want. Remember in the book of Numbers in chapter 13, spies being sent out. 10 came back with a bad report. 2 came back with a good report. But notice as we go on down, I believe I put the scriptures in here. Yes, I did. The 10 said, okay, we went into the land and we spied out the land. But notice how they began here. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they presented the fruit. Nevertheless, now comes the bad part. You know, we as Americans, we as individuals and all, okay, we always want to put a good light on it. You go in to buy a new car, they look and say, well, you know, I brought down the figure to where you want it and all. Instead of it costing $35,000, it's only going to cost you $32,000. Oh, man, I saved $3. Let me have the dotted line and sign it. They presented the good stuff, and now watch what they did. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, they're strong. The cities are fortified and very large. You know, I was reading this one time, and after the services, one of the brethren walked up to me, and he looked at me, and he said, but you know what? That happened in the Bible. It doesn't happen today. Yes, it does. When we're presented with opportunities, we discourage ones because of the same reason. I've got to talk to them about where they go to church at now. That's a big congregation. Someone presented some statistics here a while back. It may have been 6-7 months ago, but I'd say a while back. On the number of people that go to these different denominations. Wow, they've got a lot of people going there. Hey, they're strong. They're fortified. They know what they're doing. It's very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants there. We saw ones who've been there for years. It was established back in 1800, and they've got on the charts and the wall, they have it all laid out where the genealogy is. He says, we saw the Anakites there, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Let me ask a question. And Sunday, Wednesday evening, we're studying in the book of Nehemiah. Remember what we studied just Wednesday night? They were fortifying the walls of the city. And 3 of them, Sanballat, his ones that were following after him, come to him and say, this is the wrong thing to do and you're going to pay for it. So they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to put ones who will be the defenders there. There will be ones laying block with a sword on their side as they laid the block and all, but we're going to build the walls of the city. Notice what they had to say in chapter 5 and chapter 6 here in the book of Nehemiah. When they looked around about it, all of the countries that were against the Israelites were all around them. And that was pointed out to them. Why? To discourage them. We're surrounded with all of these bad things and all. Let's just go ahead and just quit building the wall. We'll just stop building the wall. We'll stop talking about the Lord. We'll praise God. What we'll say is, Lord, we love you. But then we're going to look and say, yeah, but you know, we can't forget this sinner here. Let's just hold on to it. Let's just hold on to it. Because it surely will get better. Someone asked me one time, they said, you know, tell us exactly, what is truth? What is truth? Truth in this, yes, 10 of the Israelites that went into the land and spied out the land, they came back with a bad attitude. It was an attitude like Joshua and Caleb came back and said to them, we can do it. And brothers, sisters, this is the attitude that we can have. Brothers, sisters, look around at the empty seats. Now I asked ourselves a question. Are we doing all that we can do it? Brothers, sisters, we can fill up every seat here. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Can you visualize it? Because if you can't visualize it, it can't be done. done. If we can't visualize it, and if we can't see it, it's not going to happen. Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 32. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land. What did they say? We can't do it. Oh, Moses, come on. I've been out there in this wilderness walking for all this time and all. Let's go back to Egypt. Moses, look. All we have to eat is just this manna that falls from the heavens. Let's go back to Egypt so we can have the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Did they have a good attitude? I don't know about you, but I grew some onions in my garden. And whoa, are those dudes ever hot. Now I got a hold of some of those Vidalia onions, and I could sit there and cut that thing and just eat it right. No, so good. That was a Joshua and Caleb. And I faced that hot onion, and I said to myself, that's a Joshua and a Caleb too. I can eat that thing. We want to turn away from it because of the fact that our knowledge and our understanding of God's word is somewhat lacking. Why? Because I have not devoted myself into that of study, understanding, and application in my life. All I've done is sit and read. I went to school with a guy at Morehead State University in Kentucky. It was his 12th year at Morehead State. When I went there, I had calculus in my freshman year. And when I went there, I was sitting in the calculus class, and he was in there too. And I asked him, I said, it's good to have you here in school. He's much older than I was. And I said, how long have you been here? And he said, oh, this is my 12th year. I said, do you keep failing this class? And no. He said, they told me this year I had to get out because of the fact that I've taken every class that the university here has to offer. I said, what's your major? He said, that's the problem. I don't have one. Haven't decided on one yet either. Oh. Took me quite a while to pay off my school loans and all stuff like that. When I went to school and all, I could just see what his was. Brothers, sisters, is that us? We're majoring in the study of the Bible, but we never applied it. We've never taken it out. We've never given it away. We've become majors of the Bible. And we don't have a degree of understanding the Lord and what he wanted me to do with that word that I have studied and I have dealt with and all to carry it on. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. They stood tall. Sin stands tall too. But did old David look and say, yeah, I think I'll go back home. I ain't going to fight that one. All took. And one's done. And he brought him down. You come out here at me in the name of the Lord. You little ant. All he did was put that stone into the sling. And around and around and around it went. The stone went up, 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 and the giant came tumbling down. Why? He knew he could do it. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord. Well, let's look on verse 1 of chapter 14. And all the congregation, all you need is just a few people over here in order to get everybody to start going with them. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or God that we had died in this wilderness? And therefore hath the Lord brought us out unto this land to fall by the sword. We're going to get killed. Let us make a captain and let us return to the land of Egypt. If Moses is not going to take us back to Egypt, we're going to go back ourselves. But we're not going to follow him. Is that maybe sometimes the way we are? Lord, you've asked me to do something hard. I'm either going to sit down, I'm going to wait until that obstacle gets moved by you, or I die. But I'm not going to go over that obstacle there. Because of you, some even may be forsaken the assembly. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. You know, brothers, sisters, we go out and we talk to ones who are not assembling. And we say, you know, the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more you see the day approach. I got that one down memorized real good. Let's look at verse 24. And let us consider. What does the word consider mean? And what does it imply? It implies thinking. Consider one another in order to stir up love. You know, I can't just look and say, oh, I love you over here. You know, I've got to think about it. I've got to mentally set my mind straight with the Lord in order to produce and have this love that is necessary. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Then am I going to be able to get them to see that, not, that forsaking the assembling is the wrong path to go. But I have to sit back and consider it and think about it and map out the path that God has given unto me in order to get them to see this love that we have for them. Okay? Because of you, some may be stumbling, some may be falling and all. And you might say, well, don't blame me. He or she is like that because of the sin that they're in and they're not wanting to get out of it. But now, listen to this. Listen to these words here. Take them from the book of Matthew, chapter 18. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him before them in the midst and said unto them, surely I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as this little one, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself, as is what a child has, humble. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God or in heaven. Whosoever receives this little child like this in my name receives me. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone was tied around his neck and he was dropped into the sea. Death. I can remember whenever I was at home in Wellsburg, West Virginia. That's where I grew up. We had a meeting one day and the elders told us, they said, you know, what we need to do is we need to go out and we need to be telling the world about the gospel of Christ. And I thought, well, you know, I'm doing that. I'm telling my neighbors, I'm telling the people up and down the street, I'm passing out the pamphlets, the little bulletin that we had and all stuff like that. And he called me into his office. And he says, Clifford, he says, I appreciate what you're doing. But he said, you're doing it all wrong. You need to be telling these people, if you don't believe in the Lord, you're going to go to hell. If you don't get out of that denomination that you're in, you're going to go to hell. You know what I was talking about just previous in the verses in there? Consider. That wasn't done. I have to first consider myself. If I was in that position, how about I want someone to come and talk to me? Maybe the words that we're uttering is true. I know that if we do not believe in Christ, we're going to be lost. Eternally lost. It's not hell. It's eternally lost. Okay? But I have to have the love in order to tell them the love of God. and how that love can be able to reside in them. We've come to the end of the lesson. Some may say, you had too long of a lesson. But brothers and sisters, when you have something to say concerning Christ, say it. Don't hold back, I got 10 minutes for you. That's the way the world is today. I want it now. Give it to me in 10 minutes. That's what my boss used to say. Give me the statistic results in 10 minutes. Go. I turn around and I walk out of his office. Was it going to happen? And brothers and sisters, it's not going to happen for us to give just 10 minutes. It's not going to happen. Oftentimes we think of church. And I'm being holy, I'm being zealous when I walk into the building and all. Brothers and sisters, you know every day that we live, every minute, every second that we live ought to be that type of zeal and humbleness unto the Lord. As if we were right in His assembly worshiping Him. It's just not on Sunday. We don't put some cloak on. We're coming up on Halloween. People are going out. We're going out buying our children all these costumes to put on to pretend they're something. Look at ourselves. What are we pretending to be? And is it what God would have us to be? Song number 317 is entitled All Things Are Ready. Consider the lesson this evening and ask ourselves a question. Am I ready? You've heard the word. Do you believe it? I didn't make up anything. If I made up anything, Brother Jones, Brother Dysart, you know, it was your responsibility to stand up and say, you're making that up. If I haven't made it up, then it's true. Are we willing to repent of our sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be baptized for remission of our sins, to rise, to walk in newness of life, beginning our Christian life of learning further what Christ has in store for us? Be thou faithful unto death means continuing it. If we're subject to the call of Christ this evening, why don't we come now, but together we stand and sing.